Well, good morning and greetings in the precious name of Jesus this morning. I've been blessed to be here. I trust you have been as well. Many truths that we shared, the songs that we sang, devotional. Thank God that we aren't here just for just to hold a meeting, right? We are here because we serve a God together. And we have a God that we can praise, a God that we can rally around, that we can serve, and he blesses us, and I'm thankful for that this morning, again, as I thought about that. For our message this morning, I guess it's sort of expected maybe sometimes. The evangelist always talks about the home, and that's what we plan to look at this morning here. And you think about home, I look across this audience, and well, when I stand in the back there, and all these hundreds of children, not quite, but I mean all these children that come out through there, you're blessed. You're very blessed. And the youth that are sitting here, you're blessed. And God has blessed you. God has blessed you with children, with arrows. Now, you, as parents, have a huge responsibility. And when I preach a message like this for a home on a Sunday morning or whatever it is, I'm speaking primarily maybe to the parents, right? But I want you grandparents to find what you can find out of it. We're probably going to talk about this some. And you young people, you're like, wow, this doesn't apply to me. Wow, I'm off the hook, okay? I just sit here and, well, I don't know what. Wait. But I want to talk to you this morning, too. And as you look at your parents' lives and you see inconsistencies, you see failures, you see whatever, I want you to think about the blessings and how you are blessed beyond measure and how all life fits together. And we're going to look at some of that and how it all, a lot of things go into making family, building family, making that happen. How do we build family? Well, it happens in what we call time, family time, family life. As I share a message this morning, I look across the audience and I see many older ones that could share this probably way more truths and from way more experience than I have. I feel like I'm in the middle of it and I'm still trying to figure this all out. But how do we build godly families? You know, there are several families that I know that I look up to and I say, wow, now how did they do that? What happened? What did they do that their children are just, you know, it's to me it looks as a perfect family. Now I realize not everything is the way you appear. But I also have some families that I would have grown up with in church life or even more recent that I look at that and I'm like, wow, something went wrong. Something happened. And I don't know all your families here, okay? This morning, and I realize that children have choices that they can make. That I know. Mine are still making choices, okay? But you know what? We as parents, we have choices to make as well. And we only have a short time to do that, as you think about that. I'm right in the thick of it, and my family isn't raised, and I have made many failures as a family. And we come from different homes and different ideas and different values. The laymans do some things that you may think are weird. You maybe do some things that I think you're weird too. I don't know that. But, you know, it's that in all of that, we come into church life. That really doesn't really matter if it's biblical, if it's within the godly realms. Every family has its own things. And there are many children come out of different homes that are godly children, godly parents. They become godly parents. And so we are building family as I think about that. And I'm just going to draw here this morning quickly. Again, we're going to do our gingerbread guy. Because I want to make a point out of this. We looked at this as being the church, right? The other night. We are the body of Christ. Now I'm going to take this just a little further here. We're going to talk about it being, again, the body of Christ. This is the body. This is Christ. This is the body, right? And I often like to think of as the right hand being the school. The school does a lot. It works with the body, and it's all connected. And then this may be our mission outreach or whatever, and that's another thing that works in your left hand. Our right hand
works very closely with the church, and I often think of school being the right hand of the church, right? Okay, we're not even talking about that this morning here, but within this body, all the cells, all the little things that make up, looks like chicken pox or something, but, you know, all those little cells, that's what makes this body of Christ. And we talked about it being members, right? We talked about being members of the body of Christ. But all those members that are there all come from families. They are made up. Church in majority is made up of families. Now, I realize that in the early church, maybe there was a lot of a single mother or father or different people that all make that part of it. But primarily our churches today are made up of families. Family is so important to church life. Very important to church life. And how it all relates to the body and the school and the mission or mission outreaches and all that has to go into that is all makes that part. And we are building families. We are building church. And we think of building as we're building a house, right? By the way, we're going to talk about that a little bit, but we're building a house. And that is very, very important as you think about that. We are building families just like building. And it's very important that we're building upon the right foundation, that we are setting the walls and putting in the power and setting the windows and getting the roof on and, you know, making this all work. Taking shape. We are shaping arrows. The building that we are part of today is, and we are letting those arrows fly. You can turn with me to Psalm 127. I want to look at 127, 128. And the title this morning is Intentional Family Building. Intentional Family Building. It takes, you know, sometimes we think that, well, it just, we don't even think this. Family life just happens, right? You get through the next week and you get the next week and you're like, oh, wow, where did time go? And here we are. But really, in that time, you are building family. You are creating a culture. You are setting your children on a course without even knowing it, really. That's what's happening. That happens, but we need to be intentional about it. And think about this seriously as parents. What's happening here? What am I doing? So I don't want to read Psalm 127 here. Then we'll break it apart just a little bit here. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, I know a lot of homes where the Lord is not part of those homes, and there is chaos. And that we look on at that and we say, how sad, right? And we are so blessed as we think about many of us came from godly homes and it comes into the next generation. But it says, except or unless, I'm going to use that term, the Lord is part of it. He directs it. All our family building, all our home life building, except that's a part of it, it's going to be in vain. Because those children are going to leave that thing like, well, dad or mom really didn't have much in it. Except the Lord build the house and is the center of that. And the reason we are building family is so that our children claim that same thing again. And they're part of God and part of the Lord and have him part of their life. Verse 3 here. He says, lo, children are an heritage. Are a heritage. And we think of heritage as being, you know, heritage being an heirloom or something that we inherited. Or something that, maybe it's an estate or possession. We received a blessing a blessing from the Lord. We received an heritage from the Lord, that something that is special from the Lord, something precious that was given to us. And it's our responsibility. Do we value it? We hold them close. We could very well lose that. Esau gave his birthright away, right? He traded it for something different. What are we trading today for our children? Are we trading, well, you can put all kinds of things in there, right? We are in life. I'm in life the same as you are. And, you know, there's so many things that come in there that can affect that. He gives them through the wonderful plan of birth.
Sometimes there's adoption as well, but that all happens in the marvel of it, the child that is brought into the world, our very own flesh and blood. And as you stood there, it's been a while since I did this, but as you stood there beside and the new baby you were given into your hands, and I don't know, what do you think of as you look into your new child? Most, I think every time, caused tears to my eyes. That God could give us to make something so perfect, and the huge responsibility that is given to me as I hold it in my hand, in my arms. But as we look at that helpless son or daughter, the miracle that we're holding in our arms is also a soul that has an eternal destiny that is up to me as a father and a mother to make sure that they get to where that needs to be. And I realize, again, that child has a choice, but we need to do what God wants us to do within that. We are given an heritage, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. He gives it to us. Out of the love that a husband and wife have, and that comes forth from that. Many, you know, I think about this, many have choose to abort or give up for adoption or view them as a nuisance and yell and scream at them. You know, as working with people, you hear that all the time, walking into stores, and I'm gonna this and that you, I'm this, and horrible things that they talk about to their children. All kinds of names, terrible, not viewed as an heirloom. And I trust, I hope, I'm pretty sure within this congregation that you view your children as a heritage. So that remember that. Just think about that. They really are. And you know, when they're annoying you or when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing or the stress gets high, they're a heritage. You're given to them. They are given to you. Think about that. Number four, or verse four here says, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. You know, arrows gave a man strength, the desire to fight, to press on. He could use them wisely. He wanted to use them wisely. After those arrows were gone, I mean, they didn't just have bags and bags and bags of arrows that they would just pull out of. Nope, they only had a few of them when they were in the middle of a fight. And it was pretty important that they used them and they shot them correctly. They shot them right, the way God wanted them to do. And many of them made their own arrows. They shaped them and they formed them and they put that all right so that they knew where they were going to shoot them, those arrows. And today, God has given us children. It's up to us to shape them and to form them and to find the mark and shoot them. God only gives us so many. God says, happy is his man. Verse 5, he says, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Whatever God has blessed each family with different amounts. And if we allow God's leading, accept his blessings, we will see the children he has blessed us with as happiness, satisfaction, and a blessing. Not as offensive and all that goes along with that. But now I'd like to just go into to 128 here. Psalm 128, into the next passage here, said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. We need to have a commitment with God. If we're going to build godly families, we need to have a commitment with God. Fearing of him and his word, and walketh, it says it's action. It doesn't say he walked with the Lord, it says he walketh in his ways, right? It's a lifetime. It's, well, as we're building families, we better be walking in the path that God wants us to do. It's happening. And yes, sometimes I, and I'm sure you do as well, we maybe trip sometimes, or maybe we stop. As parents, we know we won't, maybe sometimes don't know where to turn at times, but we desire to follow the way God and his ways and what he has for us in his life, in our lives. Verse 2. It says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. You know, we work hard, we try, we put our all into a job, and we enjoy the fruits of it, right? No matter if it's this side or this side, whatever that may be. We want our children to learn that you do something, you work hard at something, you can enjoy the fruits of it. You can enjoy whatever happens out of it. But you know, that's what happens in family life. It can, or it should. We need to be intentional about parenting. Our life revolves around it, even though it's all the other things of life that God calls us to. And we are conscious of our choice and our responses and our attitudes. And I know sometimes in the thick of the fight, I have already done this. We call it, we shoot from the hip, right? Because we don't know what's happening. Or we don't know maybe quite what's, but you know, God wants us to be, not wing it as raising family, but we need to ask for him for wisdom all throughout life. God leads us and we follow. We can be blessed and happy. And we can someday look back here, it says, and it shall be well with thee. And we can look back. I'm not at this point yet, a little bit. I start to see some of these things, but you can look back and you say, wow, all those things that we went through, and now it's a blessing today. That daughter that wouldn't sit still for nothing in church, and now she's a godly young woman, or whatever you put in there. That child that was constantly a terror, whatever it may be, and now finally it has, times have changed. And you can look back and said, wow, we can see the fruit of our labor. And we remember so, and we get how they maybe would get so angry. Remember the stress and the tears and the embarrassing times. But God is good, and we look back and say it is well. We've lived. We trusted God to lead us through, and that's maybe looking forward to some of you. And you say, well, I don't know if I'll see that for a while. Well, God will bless you. That'll be fine. And our children, you know, one of the other blessings with this is our children also, as they get to that point and they look back, remember when so-and-so and how God made us do this or this or this. That's a blessing now as you look back at that sometimes. And it's, yeah. I'll go on to verse 3. Thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about. It takes a godly wife in it all, and that's so important. I'm very thankful for the godly wife that I have. And we, a woman who sees more desire and outside and doing things outside of the home causes a problem in it. Causes a problem in this. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. My wife holds our house together, right? You know, and I needed her here so that I could think properly for the rest of the week. No, that's the way that goes though, right? She's a fruitful vine around our house. It's what holds us together by the sides of our house. And it goes on and talks about children being as olive plants around your table. I don't know if you think about your children being olive plants around your table, but back in Bible times, you know, olive plants were very important. I don't know how many like olives, but I really love olives. So I love my olive plants around my table. But, you know, and a couple times we've been in Sicily, Italy over there in Sicily, and olives is a big thing over there. It was very important. There was one lady that we went to where she was trying to sell her. She called it a farm. It was only like 2 or 3 acres, but she was trying to sell this farm, and we went a couple different places there to look at this. And to me, it just looked like a parcel with a couple trees on and weeds and grass and stuff, and a little hut and things like that. But no, these were olive trees. This was very important. These are olive trees that she dug around them, and she had nourished them, and these olives, they produce a lot of olives, and there was olives hanging on, but to me, olives didn't mean a big deal to me. But you know, this was olive country. Down in the valley, there was an olive press where all these people would take all their olives down there and they would press it. That's where they got money. It was a blessing to them. It was very important, and it was very important that these trees were nourished and they were cared for through on her little parcel there. However many trees she had, and she's to me, it looked like an old tree that was falling over, but nope, that was a tree that was a good producer tree, or whatever it may be. It was a sign of blessing. God was good, and hard work paid off for her as she would collect those olives and make, she would go from there. Verse 4, behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Blessed of God, out of Zion, through the church, part of the body, we find that. We can be blessed. And he that is blessed feareth the Lord. As our children grow up and they become part of this body, and they also become, their families continue to grow, and that church is blessed. And we are blessed from all the different aspects. As me as one person, I'm blessed by this fellow family that's over beside me, whatever all it may be. We are blessed through that all. Verse 6, it says, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. If we follow God in building our families, we can trust him. And if we make him our priority, it's not without sweat and tears and prayers, but we can see our arrows go straight with God guiding them. And we see them hit a good mark, and we can see the next generation being sent out with cares as well. And I'm not a grandpa, but I can only imagine the feelings of parents and grandparents. I know how my grandparents feel sometimes. And I look at that when they see arrows hitting the mark, and doing the next their generation, doing what God intends it to be. But that all doesn't just happen, right?
in their lives, as they were moving through the generations and all that was happening, they were intentionally building family. They were intentionally doing that. And as you think about your story, all the stress, the crying children, the expensive doctor visits, and the dentists, and the disobedience, and the crying out for God for answers, and the gray hairs that came maybe for some of us, and the meals and the wash, and it's all over. It's hard. It was work, but the grind of it paid off. And as you think of your grandparents or your parents, as they look at that, their house is built. Now, many of us today, we're still building house, right? We're still building that. And so for those that are in the thick of it, those of us that are in the thick of it, those who are just starting maybe, those who are thinking about it, how do we build godly families? What makes it happen? Is there a 1-2-3 step in the scriptures to say this is what needs to happen? And at 6 a.m. you do this, and at 7 a.m. you do this, and 8 o'clock this will make it right, and by 12 o'clock you're going to have this, and by 7 o'clock in the evening, and you do that every day, that's exactly how family's going to turn out. You follow a recipe. You do this, you put this together, and you mix this, and you put it in the oven for 350 at 350, and you know what? Out comes a cake, right? Or whatever it may be. It's not quite like that for family. And all kinds of different ingredients go into that. It makes it a challenge because we're all different. We all come from different families. We're all faced with different circumstances. And it, as you think about that, it takes the discernment of the Lord and the following of God as we do that in our lives, as we make this all happen. Throughout our lives. And it doesn't just happen that way. Not quite that simple. Sometimes we wish maybe it was. But it happens in what we call regular life, and we are given precious young souls with physical needs, emotional needs, and spiritual needs. This is when we are building something, shaping arrows, setting the foundation, whether it's good or bad. And I'm just going to go through this a little bit. First of all, we have marriage. And some of you are just young married, you have just become married, or maybe you're looking forward to marriage. I don't know exactly where you're all at, but the challenges of learning to know each other and how the wonderful thing of marriage, of how God takes two, we talked about this last night a little bit, but how God takes two people from two different areas, two different families, two different upbringings, and brings them together and he meshes them and he makes them one wife, husband and wife, one flesh. You know what that's like. You remember. I don't know if you can remember that far back for some of us older ones, but how that was like to try to mesh together and who does this or who does that, or why do you use that toothpaste and why do you do this and why do you fold my stuff like that? It's all we had to work that together. And there's still probably throughout life there's still disagreements sometimes that come along. I'm sure there is. I don't think I'm the only weird person here, but we have that. It's such a big part of building homes, as you mesh those two lives together. What church are we going to go? Is membership in a biblical church and making that a part of, trying to adapt it into a part of our life. And that's very important. Think about that. Very important as you think about that. And as you're thinking about getting married, or maybe you got married and you realize, you know what? I need to have a job to support my wife. I need to make sure that I have a good job that's supporting my wife. And we think about that and we have, I got to have transportation. I had some for myself. Now I got to have some for my wife. It's food and clothing, and two, not very long into that, many times, a couple years could be, God brings these special little people into our lives. Crying, helpless, hungry. Sleeping nights that we enjoyed so well before were gone, right? And we try to sleep between the cries, and we have diapers and bottles and crying and teething and dealing with the sinful nature that comes natural. Learning to walk and talk and getting into things, talking nonstop maybe, and all those early days, you remember some of those things, the questions. And we're in all that, right? We're building family, right? And many times right in that, you're barely into that one. Here comes the second one, right? And it's just, life just goes on, right? We get into that. And another. And understanding the different temperaments, and you have they're totally different than others. And in that is church life, right? We try to wrap that in. We have your jobs and all that happens, learning and teaching them to learn to sit in church. Meanwhile, the baby's crying on your wife's lap, and you're trying to make them sit. I look back and I remember those days, and I thought of it here this morning as I sat beside the brother who was holding his child, and I was like, oh, that would be wonderful to do that again. But life moves on, right? We go through these different things. But we have these little children, and they grow up. And before long, you have maybe 3, 4, whatever it may be, and you got school. We got to think about school. Wow, we're at this point. 6th grade, here we go.
We start into school. I never did this before. We start in there. And, you know, we have school tuition. Wow, I don't know what your school tuition is here, but it adds up to thousands of dollars. And it we believe it. School is very important, right? That's an arm of the church. And we're all making this all work together. And we have homework. It begins. Life begins, right? We have homework. And we have school clothing. And we have lunches. And we have mom that's losing a little helper. And we have to drive school children. And we have relationships and respect for the teacher and learning to obedience and all the fun that comes home from school. But, you know, it doesn't go very long. And 1 or 2 years later, there's another one joining right in, right? And the cycle just continues. The train continues, right? More punishments needed because you get to a different stage. And family worship, you got to figure in there. And home projects. And in that, probably as another child comes in. It's birthdays. It's church activities. It's school. It's organizing and managing. It's getting up in time and to bed in time and all that happens. It's going to revivals and the preacher preaches too long. And it's all that stuff that, you know, you try to figure it all out, how we're going to make this all work. Sometimes it's doctor visits and health problems and food for a growing family, all the food, truckloads of food that it takes for families, right? Where does it all go? And they're always needing clothing. And I just got you shoes. Yeah, I got to get you more now. We go on. And in that, you know, all of a sudden, for some reason, the house roof needs repaired. Or the refrigerator goes out, or, you know, the washer's not working, or this leak, the truck broke down, or the bicycle tire's flat. Dad, can't you fix this? It just goes on, right? Am I talking to people that don't know what's happening? No, this is life, right? The dad in that, dad needs to keep working, right? Because you got to keep paying for these truckloads of clothing and food and going to school and all this. And in that, you and your wife are still married. You're supposed to be anyway, and you're trying to have a relationship and, you know, help to try to understand her, and you work at this together, and you're part of a church, right? You're supposed to be part of a church. You should be part of a church. That's what God intends. And we, you know, we're called to song leading and teaching, and, you know, this brother needs help. And maybe preaching if God calls you to that, and fighting between siblings and how that all works. And we sometimes pull our hair out like, wow, don't they learn anything? aren't we getting through it all? And we're embarrassed. No one else's children acts like this, right? You know, in the front bench or whatever it may be for me sometimes. I had a couple sitting up here sometimes and, you know. But, you know, that's life, right? Everyone's building family. We're building family. And whether you think about it or not, you're building family. What family do you want it to come out? How do you want that house to be? And the questions go on. As you grow up, you're like, wow, and we talk to our friends. Well, what do you do with this? And how do you do this? And what, you know, we talk about that together. And then we got to a point in ours, we had 7 children. Our house was 30 by 30, old farmhouse, 28 by 28 rather. And how are we ever going to fit in here? And finally, we kept pushing this off. You know, we got to build on. Well, that's a lot of money to build on. And so we finally have to build on. And other challenges of trying to figure out, is that the right thing? And that's more money. And house, more things are wearing out. And we wonder why. Does it have to wear out now? You know, we're right in the middle of this. And in that, you're growing as your family just keeps moving on, right? And finally, your oldest is like, oh, they're starting the youth group. And they, you know, they want to be, well, I shouldn't say they're starting in the youth. They're becoming a youth. And then they want to become a Christian. And wow, I never did this before. I don't know what I'm doing. Instruction class and baptism, and then we see them developing their own convictions and peer pressure, and, you know, they want to be cold too, and how they all fit in there and stretching their wings, and sometimes not doing things maybe the way we think they should do, and we have to talk to them, and how do we stay firm and not develop rebellion and bitterness, and we want this open relationship, and we try to struggle with that, right? How do we work this back and forth? How do we work this out? And if you're like me, I start becoming a little scared. You know, my hours are getting close to leaving. They're getting closer. And I think about this. Did I do right? Did I do all I could? Was I too caught up in the things of this life? And maybe my oldest quit school. Finally, school's over. And they're driving now, and they have a job. They need a job. And all those decisions. And what an influence. Was I a good influence? What is a good influence? And we have to purchase vehicles, and you know that how you buy vehicles for your children, and then insurance goes high, and that's more expenses, right? It just keeps on and on and on. And in that all,
Us as dads, you know, we still have our jobs or business or whatever it may be, and the pressures of all that, how do I keep this all together, and how do I juggle all this? And mom says, well, can't you be home earlier tonight? You know, we gotta make this happen here tonight, and we gotta get to church in time. We all do this, and how do we view all this? Then we have friends, and then maybe they start dating the children, and that becomes scary. Can I trust this guy with my daughter? Does my son know what he's doing? Can I trust him? Do I know what he's doing? And life moves on. And children keep moving. First one gets married, then gone, and then they're on their own. And you know what? All that happens many times within 20 to 30 years. The arrows are shot. I'm not at that point totally yet, but that's as I watch, observe families, that's what happens. What happened? What did we do? Were we intentional about it, or were we just living family and building family? We were building something. We were building a culture for our children. We were building something in our children's lives. Was it what God wanted us to be? What happened? Our home is empty, and we have them choosing now. We have them making choices in life. Is it right or wrong? In ways that will directly affect them. We know the Bible is full of directives for marriage, for child training, for wisdom, for relationships. Many things. And we see various families who were a success and those who are not. And I can think of a few. I talked about that a little bit. But when you think about their life, you know, to me, I was looking on and they were doing the exact same thing. But their children didn't. Some of them were perfect. Some of them went the wrong way. Is there some basic ideas that we can learn out of that? I think there is. We can look at the Bible there. We think about Lot. You know, it calls him just Lot. And I think about that sometimes, many times, but what did he do wrong? He lost all of his children, most of his children besides his two daughters. Most of his children were left in Sodom. What did he do wrong there? What choices was he making? That they made light of him. It says that he went to try to tell them. He wanted to take them along with him out of the city, right? And I think it says that I should read that there again, but I think they made fun of him or they sort of mocked him. No. What did he do wrong? What happened? Eli. How exactly did Eli, it says he didn't restrain his sons. How exactly did he do that? What happened in their lives? Did he just not spank them when he should have? Did he, you know, what happened? Achan, how did he get to that point where he was struggling financially, and you know, in the midst of all this, there was too much, and he took those things and he kept them for himself, and what happened? He lost his family, right? His house came crumbling down and he lost it all. You think about David, who loved God, but to think of the things that he made in life, the choices that he made, and some choices that he made in life that caused a huge impact on his family. Right? There was some discord, and there were struggles there. A man that was after God's own heart. As you look at that, you're like, wow. Even a man like David, there were some choices that he made that affected his children. And some choices that they made that were not right. I think he had a desire to serve God. There's many negative mothers in the Bible, kings who had a huge impact. And it says that their mother, such and such a king, sinned, and their mother was so and so. It talks about that different times in the Old Testament. Mothers have a huge impact on that. They did evil in God's sight. It talks about it. And we have the positive as well. Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. A lot of work planned, but raising the boys. As he was raising the boys there, the three boys. Enoch, he says he walked with God. What did his home look like? Abraham, it says he commanded his children after him. How did he do that? What happened? Family life. Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as far as we know, his children were faithful. But it says later on that a generation after that rose up and they did not care. And that's what happened. There are many people that we could talk about here. So it would be nice, wouldn't it be nice to have some inside stories into some of those people's lives? What exactly did they do? What happened? The 1-2-3s that build a godly home. How did they do and still make a living, maintain their marriage and their worship life and their fight their enemies and live in obedience and all the sacrifices and such that were required of them as they did all that? And I think God doesn't give us that. But I'd like to just look at some basic standards here quickly. Of building godly home, turn to Deuteronomy 6. I'd like to just look at this here. Most times we turn to this passage. Deuteronomy 6.
After the Ten Commandments were given, I think this is Moses giving this here, I'm pretty sure. Deuteronomy 6, starting at verse 1. I'm just going to read verses 1 to 9. And you just think about this here. And think about your family and how we don't do it the way they're talking about here, and yet we do. We're building family life, and things like this are actually happening in our life. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments that the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that ye mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house, and on thy gates, and in your school books, and on your walls, and in your wherever all that may happen, God, you shall do that. And as you look at this in your house, and when thou walkest, and when thou liest down, all that, they're building life. I mean, they're living life, right? They're building family. That's you and I today as well, right? Sometimes we think, well, we're not back there the way they did it like that. But you know, we are. We have to do the exact same thing as we're living life, as we're getting up, as we're going to bed, as we're living our life. We are showing our children, this is how you live life. What are we doing? I guess the question is, well, how are we doing that in my life? In the day-to-day grind, it happens. The actions that take place, the words, what they see us do or not do, what they see us think is important and view as not important, they see all that. You know, it all happens as we think about that. You know, sometimes in life now, I think about this, you know, our children are a little older, and you know, you get up in the morning and it's not just dad that leaves anymore. It's dad, and then it's the boys, and then it's my daughter, and then it's or whoever, and then the children leave for school, and then it's just, after a while, everyone leaves the house, and there's no one there anymore. Life moves on, that's the way it happens. But you know, do we all come back together as we gather together? I think that's very important. As we teach, verse 8 says, bind it on their arm and hand and between their eyes. Devout Jews that do that today. I've been at New York several times where the Jewish community is there, and they have them strapped on their hands. You know, they're reading these verses and they're jabbering, they're talking to themselves about this, and we say, wow, such whatever, steeped in their culture. But today, you and I, as we go throughout our lives, is it bound upon our arm? Are we talking it to their children? Are we intentional parenting? Is that what's happening? Are we teaching? Are we building all these different things to make that? I thought about turning to Psalm 78, but I'm not going to do that. But it talks about teaching and passing on to the next generation, Very important to show them, to tell them, pass them to the generation. It takes effort. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little. And there a little in everyday life, right? That's what happens. Dad, grandpa, great-grandpa, great-great-grandpa, down through, that's what happens. And you know, we need to keep doing that. So what can we learn? Someday we'll realize that the last child walks out the door to somewhere. What are we building? Was it in vain, or was it the saving of our house? You know, Noah spent years building that ark, preparing for his family, it says, thought, time, money, resources, probably sometimes questioning, asking God for wisdom, opposition. His wife and children maybe could have questioned him, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? He probably had to punish and exhort his sons as they were there building. Maybe his patience ran out some days. I don't know. I think he probably was normal like we were. His schedule got a little thin. You know, we got to get this floor on today here. It's going to rain or whatever, it didn't rain yet, but you know, it's got the things that had to happen. But you know what? In that, he, I believe, had found time. He taught his children that we worship. His marriage,
We think of today, you know, did he send her flowers? I don't know if he did or not, but you know, he had a marriage that he had to keep up. He had to have good relationships and work on those. Did his children, you know, they run across the deck and play tag and all that went along with that? Did mom and dad help? Did they work together? Were there times when the boys were stuck working alone when dad was out preaching to the children or to the people outside? Probably that took place, and that's what happened. And you know what? He built his family, it says, to the saving of his house. He built his ark to the saving of his house. And as he did that throughout his life, he was building family. And he took his family with him, and that's a wonderful blessing. I would like to just consider a few must-haves for building a godly family. And I'm just going to go through these quickly, and you can write these down or think about these. I'm thankful for godly examples in my life, and I'm very blessed by that. But as you think about these couple must-haves, and these aren't all exclusive, but I'm going to try to go through these fairly quickly here. But number one, it takes a strong marriage relationship. We need that right away. That needs to start that way. And we do not forget that you were together before your children, and you are the two that are going to be left after your children, unless the Lord takes one of you. And so that marriage relationship is very important. Hold that together. Sometimes children come into the mix, and you know, they're crying and being mothering and all that, and that's very important. They are very precious to us, and we need to do that. But don't forget each other. I cannot stress that enough. Do not forget each other. We need to, you know, we can become wrapped up in family life or whatever, and getting the next paycheck, and as the wash is folded and the fussing children are all taken care of. But all it's very important that the leader and his companion are together in all of it, and they can share it together. Men, starts with us. We need to be faithful to our wives. We need to love them no matter what. And the changes of life that happens, we are bound. We are sold out to our wife. We rejoice in the wife of our youth. Husbands, love your wife, not just physically, but emotionally, and support her spiritually as well. Listen, care, love, cherish, exercise. Think of the vows that you made. Very important. God holds us to high stakes when we do that. As you think about her, treat her as the weaker vessel. Take care of her. Wives, as a part of you have as well. Husband, I trust you. I trust your authority. I care for you. I care for you. Your judgment. Wives, be in respect and in subjection. And that transfers, as a wife that is subjection, that transfers very quickly to children. I can tell you story after story of families where the wife was not where that needed to be, and that transferred to the children that, you know what, dad doesn't really know exactly what he's doing, and I can just make my own choices. Sometimes we need to do this or that or whatever it may be. But, you know, my wife will say, well, that's to see what dad says when he comes home. Support him, forgive him, esteem him, honor him, reverence him. He is a human the same as you are, but, you know, respect him. Sarah's called him Lord. It's a two-way street as we do that. Number two, we need to build godly homes. As we build godly homes, we do what we say, right? We do what we say. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, but do it, right? Children watch. Children will listen. When I sit down and I say, this is how this all going to work, but you know what? If dad doesn't live it out in everyday life, it goes over the top of their heads. Very important. Our words need to confirm our actions. God is what he requires of us. He requires us to love and to be holy and righteous and trustworthy. And he requires us to forgive and to not hold bitterness and to be a thankful person and not complaining about life and not be envy that always someone else has it a little bit better. No, we live it, right? We live it out in everyday life. That's what God wants of us. As parents, we need to do what we say. Number three, we are building when we listen and watch. You know, as you build things, you listen for things that maybe, or you watch for things that aren't quite right. You know, well, that wall's not quite level. I better recut that board. I better re-put that in right, whatever it may be. Giving ear and listen when our children come home or when our wife is there, her husband, are you listening? Are we selective sometimes, maybe, as husbands? Do we really care about the petty things and the trivial worries and the feelings of our children and our wife, we may think, whatever it may be? Does God listen to us? Yes, he does. His ears are open to our cry. Be open to your children. Listen to them. Listen for things from school, from cell phone, from friendships, what's going on, what they're watching, what they're doing.
Sometimes children come with questions, and can I do this or that? And before they're even done answering, as dads, sometimes we're like, no. We know right away where they're going with it. That's not the right way to do it, right? At least maybe I'm the only one that does that. But listen them out. They might have had to explain. They're trying to explain what all they wanted to do and why they want to do it. Listen them out. That's okay. Teach obedience, immediate obedience. We become lax ourselves sometimes. Number four. To build correctly, we discipline. Eli, it says, restrained not. And Proverbs is full of using the rod and using it the way it should be. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Use it. What was it? What did he do wrong? Did he not simply spank and use the rod, or did he use time out, or what did he do that was wrong? The Bible doesn't tell us, but he did something wrong. The Bible tells us over and over and over to use the rod of correction properly, in love, without anger or rejection, telling them why we are spanking them, that, you know what, I don't like to do this, but we need to help you to learn. Never for our own appearance. I've been some times where I've spanked, and I feel bad for that, where I've spanked maybe because it was probably more out of embarrassment for what happened, them not necessarily doing it in love. And I think we must remember that. Children need to learn obedience, and it will take correction. Number five, we need to admit faults and failures. And sometimes we're going to say, children, you know what? I was wrong. I should not have done that. I should not have done that. I was angry at you. I was impatient. I raised my voice. I love you. As dad, I need to admit to my wife and children I failed and made a wrong choice, or even in personal things sometimes that happens. It does them good to hear mom or dad say, I'm sorry. And that it is a battle in their Christian life as well. That this is real. We are working this together. We all want to get to heaven together. Admit struggles. Talk about them. How will I respond? Do they hear dad sharing with the brotherhood about their struggles and things like that? Number six, prayer is so needful to build a Christian home. For this child I prayed, Hannah says, right? Can we say that with each of our children? For this child I prayed. Pray about everything, small and large things. I need to grow more in this area. But do the children know that mom and dad will pray many times about it before even giving an answer? I don't know. And you may say, well, I've said this sometimes already. Well, I don't know. I'll pray about it. I'll think about that a little bit. I'll get you a decision tomorrow. I've learned that you know, we need to do that. Never answer right away sometimes. I should say never, but you know, we may need to pray about some things. Child training and purchases and needs of others and the school struggles and relationships and the tests of youth and all the things. As you think about it, well, let's pray about it. Let's see what God wants us to do. Do they understand from little on up that God cares about little us? A big God cares about little us. Do they know us as a praying mom or dad? As someone who reaches out in their struggles, God, I need your help. You know, I learned that from my grandpa. My uncle went to ask my grandpa for if he could marry. He thought he had a good relationship with my grandpa. He thought it was a good, yeah, this is great. He wants to marry his daughter. He sure he would say yes right away. And so he asked, can I have your daughter? My grandpa's like, well, I'll have to think about it. Let me pray over that. I'll let you know tomorrow. Oh, wow. Okay. He had to think about that again. But that was my grandpa the whole way through. He prayed about things. Decisions, well, let me sleep over that. I need to pray about that. And you left an impact on me. We have to do that. Family that prays together stays together. That's a very cliche thing to say, but it is true, right? Very true. So easy forgotten. Number seven is family time. The key to building good family is family time. It takes time. It takes effort. But do it. Have it. Take it. Family worship. You know, that's hard when your children start separating, going to all different work and whatever all that may be. Spend time together thinking about, talking about biblical things. Could just be working in the garden. Could be doing corn. Maybe it's just sitting around talking and dreaming before bed. You know, we drive about 40 minutes to church, and most of our family goes with us almost all the time. And sometimes I think, well, maybe they could drive separate because it would maybe, you know, they could come home earlier than us or whatever sometimes, but we really do enjoy it. We talk together. We talk about family things in life. Sometimes there's some arguing going on about things. There's some that happens, but you know, we discuss things and remind them of God, tell them stories of your growing up years, lesson learns. They love hearing that, discussing questions of interest, you know. As our young children, bears aren't in the closets. You know, cougars don't live in trees outside the bedroom. Helicopters don't shoot down at boys, little boys outside. We've had those type of things in life. You know, we tell those and try to tell our children that. Time of youth, know where your children are. Know what's happening. And youth, remember this. Your parents are your parents. They have a right to know exactly where you are, where you were, what you did. And sometimes it takes some extra things. You know, something that leaves a memory for children is that dad took time. He said, you know what? We're going to go away for this weekend, and we're going to take time as a family. We're going to do this or whatever, go on a trip, whatever. Do things together, cabins, hunting, shopping, hiking, a project, whatever it may be, as you do that together. Each family has different hobbies that they like to do. Fun times. But don't get the idea that family time is expensive and a waste of time. That is not true. Think about that. Number 8, strong families, we need to build conviction. How to treat others, how to ask questions. As we ask questions, what do you think God would want you to do? And you know, to teach convictions, you and I have to have convictions ourselves, right? That's very important. Teach them to learn to make decisions. Is this the way that God would want me to spend our time and money? Do I want this for my reputation? And many times we can use others as an example. Well, did you consider so-and-so? Look, do you think they made some right decisions or not? Look what happened. Biblical principles on our speech and our thought and attitudes about church, about brotherhood, about giving, stewardship, modesty, mission work, saving, what all, purity, all those different things, entertainment, phone use. Teach them conviction. And that does not happen like that. It takes time. But they need to see a dad or a mom that has conviction on those things as well. Number 9. Be their refuge. God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. Be trustworthy. Be confidential. Respect their feelings. Make home a place to share, a place of peace and rest. How do we know God is our refuge? It is a relationship. Build that. Learn to do that. You know, sometimes we have that where our children, we wonder, well, our children, maybe, are they sharing with us the way it should be? And that sometimes changes over time. Boys, sometimes our boys can maybe be quicker to talk to their mom, and maybe the girls quicker to talk to the dad, and that's probably okay. I think that's okay. You know, it's just have those relationships. Be ready to talk and work it out. Be their refuge. Be someone that they can come to and spill it out, and that you're going to keep it there, and you're going to keep the lid on, that you're not going to spread it around to everyone else. Number 10, the last one I have, is understand that as a family, we were responsible to each other. Just like shingles on the trusses, trusses on the wall, walls on the floor, foundation on the solid ground, every aspect is important, right? As we build family, we are a family unit, a small family within the big body of Christ. And as we do that, you know, it produces, and then there's another family, then there's another family, and that God's family, God's church keeps going. And God may call those families, some of them, into the school realm, into the mission realm, wherever all that may be. But you and I, as parents, we need to build, as we build families, we do intentionally. We need to do that. And I know there needs to be some structure, and there's some sort of planning and rules and guidelines. Dad to mom, mom to dad, there's some responsibility back and forth. Children to parents, parents to children. As you think about that, that's all part of building family life. This morning, as you think about your life, and as you're building, wherever you find yourself, whether you're a child, whether you're in the middle of just starting in the family life, whatever that may be intentional about it. Think about it. Life is very important. Children, families are very important. We are truly blessed to have the heritage that we have and the children that we have that God has given to us. And God holds us very responsible for those things. You know, there's so much more we could have talked about, but we are in a building progress. Let's not become discouraged and tired and, you know, sometimes we look around and we see the gaps that are there and we see the failures. I see the failures in my life, and that's okay. We are human. But what are we going to do about it? Are we willing to stand up and make and do what needs to be done? God help us. God help you. I see many faithful families here this morning, and I'm thankful for that. So I hope that could be a little bit of a challenge or boost to you that, you know what, as I live my life and I go through the mundane things of life, I am building family. This is exactly what's happening. What do I want to come out of that? So God help us. As we do that, let's be faithful to Him. Shall we kneel for prayer?